Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And as you know, we've been doing the show with BBS for quite some time. I describe this hour that I do. People say to me, you know, you're already doing like 13 and 14 hours of radio. And, you know, as the host of the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, you know, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like agony to me. And people say, well, you know, even you do all these independent hours, you know, wouldn't you just as soon be better off kind of giving one up? And I said, you know, I don't think so. I can't even imagine which one that would be. I definitely know it would not be this one. You know, this show that I do at this time frame with all of you out there is so important to me. We get calls on this show from Costa Rica, from Hong Kong. We get calls from the UK. We get calls from all over, you know, the United States, Hawaii. I mean, so if this is reaching the people that are calling in and presenting a powerful and empowering message, then we want to keep doing it. And as I was saying to my guest tonight, this is, for me, one of the most funnest of, if that's even a word, of all the radio shows that I do. And you'll find out in the next hour why. I want to let everyone know right out of the gate that I've had the pleasure of having my guest, upcoming guest for tonight, on my show before. And I invited him to this hour so that you all can connect with him, and you're going to find out why. And this hour is going to be about, of course, the conversation that he and I will have, but it's also going to be about you having the opportunity to call in and to connect with him directly, to understand about the voice of destiny and to understand about what it means to get that intuitive, connective guidance, that astrological connection that is done with so much brilliance by my guest, Robert Ojado, who's joining me here today, a renowned writer, teacher, professional intuitive consultant, and astrologer. He is the author of this incredible book, Transforming Fate into Destiny. And you're going to hear about his story. I'm giving you sort of the short version of who he is because, you know, it's really hard to have people look at your resume, look at your profile and say, this is who he is. I do know, you know, that he has studied with Carolyn Mace at CMed Institute in Chicago, and he's actually taught with her on a regular basis. I do know that when we opened up the phone lines, when he was on one of my other hours, that they were so completely off the hook for the entire time that I think Seth is going to be very busy tonight. And I do know that you are ready to have an experience very similar to the one I have, and that's exploring the world of what it means to shift our lives, to know that we are empowered, and to look at the voice of fate versus a voice of destiny. So, Robert, I am so thrilled and jazzed, and thank you to all of our Hay House partners out there, Hay House, for doing what they're doing with you and for having us be part of the venue that you get to talk on. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show.
Well, it is great to be here again. It's fantastic. Thanks for having me back.
I love it. I love having you back. And I said that, you know, we would, you know, come back and be able to talk about many, many different things. I want to mention to everyone, we are going to open up the phone line. So in preparation for that, please go find not only your date of birth, but your place of birth and your time of birth, because we're going to be able to explore what's in your chart, how it relates both astrologically and intuitively with Robert. So this is going to be an exciting show, and we're thrilled to have you. Let's talk about this, you know, fate versus destiny conversation. I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
If you don't mind doing this with me for a minute, I don't think I've ever done this before, so you're going to be like the first.
Okay.
Are you ready? What does the day look like, a morning, in the eyes, the heart, and the soul of a person that wakes up with the idea that my life is about fate versus what does it sound like from the voice of a person that wakes up saying, I believe my life is about destiny?
Well, I think that the person that's going to wake up with this, let's say, cloud of fate around them is going to be someone who's very anchored in the past. They're going to be running ideas and thoughts through their mind that have a lot to do with what's happened that would prevent them from taking risks with their lives. And I also think it would be somebody who, you know, is going to approach the world from a place of deep fear, you know, a deep fear of change, a deep fear of their own power. And I think what will happen for that person is they're going to want to stay in bed.
You know what? You know? I got to tell you, Robert, I so know what you were just describing. I had to do a quick sanity check because I've been there. I know that.
We have all been there. I mean, and we'll go there again. I mean, quite frankly, and that's part of the polarity of fate and destiny in our lives. And destiny, the person of destiny is going to wake up, and they might still feel the fear. I mean, let's be real. We're going to always have fear as a companion on our path of destiny. But the difference is they don't let it make the choices for them. They push into the unknown. They're willing to explore the mystery of their soul, the mystery of their purpose. And that demands risk. It demands getting up an optimist, not a pessimist. It demands trust and faith in a greater force than just your ego to get you out the door and get you on a path of service to life. And I think that what will happen for the person of destiny is you're still going to have obstacles. You're still going to make mistakes. But they will vitalize you. They'll teach you something. They'll build character and, most notably, help you transcend and integrate and move beyond your own victim consciousness. The person that's going to wake up very fated is going to have a strong victim as well. Life isn't fair. I'm going to stay in bed. Life isn't fair. You know? So both people would have to really negotiate. And in my book, I talk about the voice of fate versus the voice of destiny as really competing forces and voices in our lives, because really we each encounter them every day. You know, when we all get out of bed and feel both pull at us and walk down the street and they're still talking and trying to get one up on the other. And what will define your life and really your purpose is which voice you consistently embrace.
I love what you just said about that, because there are two things that are, you know, really struck me right in the moment here. One of them is that, you know what, we're going to hear these voices. They've probably been with us for a long time. I know that, you know, I know what those voices are like as well. And, you know, they are going to have a conversation with us. The question is, what are the tools that we have so that we can choose the voice which empowers us and, you know, very directly tell the voice that doesn't to, you know, really take a leap somewhere, so
right,
to speak.
Right. Or give it compassion and say, I know you're there, but I'm not following your guidance, because your guidance will only fate me. It's going to limit me. It's not going to push me into my potential. And the realization with that potential will have obstacles. They're part of that path as well. I think somehow we've developed, I've noticed in people, this idea that when you're in purpose, everything's fine. And once I find my purpose, everything will be fine. It doesn't really work that way. Purpose is a verb. So it's always going to be dynamic and moving, and there will be obstacles.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, this is really important right here, this point. This is an important point. You know why this is important, Robert? And I think that I'll just share this with you, and I know you know what I'm talking about, but I want to make sure everybody knows that we want to welcome them again. For those of you just turning us in, tuning us on here, you know, we would love to let you know that you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive. I am your host, Dr. Pat Basile. My guest today is Robert Ojado. He's joining me here today because we have a few things to talk with you about. Robert, I actually have to stop the interview because the phones have already been ringing. We've got an incredible listener on the line, and let's go right to the phones, and we'll get back to our conversation in a minute. What do you think?
Okay, sure.
Let's do it. I believe we have Jackie on the line. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Hi, Jackie. I could hear the radio in the background.
But we don't hear her.
I know.
Where is she?
She's probably thinking, when am I going to read? Jackie, how are you? Isn't that funny?
That's very strange.
Well, we'll keep talking and wait till Jackie comes back, because if she's listening, she's also going to hear us say that we were looking for her.
Right.
But what I love about this show is, first of all, I love connecting with everyone, and, you know, I love the conversations we have. You know, we're talking about fate, we're talking about destiny, and right out of the gate, we've gotten the attention of our listeners.
Great.
And so this is really, really a cool conversation about how we help people and how you've done this and why you've written the book that you've written. So let's back up for a minute and let's talk about the fate destiny conversation. And how has this basically been gnawing away at you in your life, Robert?
Well, you know what? Well, the reason why this book even came about was because working for all these years as an intuitive and as an astrologer, one of the fundamental questions that we all ask is, people come to me, what is my purpose, Robert? Why am I here? Give me guidance. So, and that's what brought me to the intuitive arts, was the same question. And, mm-hmm. you know, what I distilled from all these years of doing readings is that there are fundamental, it's like our souls made this fundamental agreement, one with fate, one with destiny. And fate is sort of this idea that you're born into a set of limitations that are kind of like the cards that life deals you, the hand that you're dealt. And, you know, you can't really change some of those things. I mean, but what you can do is you can decide how you want to play that hand out in life. And that's destiny. Destiny. Fate always asks you a question, what will you do with me? And destiny is going to say, well, I've got to make you affirm and empower me, and I'm going to use you to serve other people ultimately. So we have this, I call it your cosmic contract. I really sense that the soul makes an agreement, if you will, before we come here to mm-hmm. participate in this journey of life, this creative journey of life. And to do that, you've got to have an identity. You've got to have a body to be in. You've got to have a family to come from. You've got to have a culture that you come from. And these are pieces of your fate. These are pieces of the limitation that your soul's agreed to be housed by so that you can have a certain creative process of destiny in this life.
Well, you know, and this is really part of a bigger conversation we're going to have today, and I love it. And by the way, Jackie, I believe, is back.
I am.
Hey, Jackie, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking my call.
I am thrilled to connect you with Robert. He has been someone I've had on the show before, and boy, I am so glad you called in. So let's go ahead and give Robert some information about you, and then we'll zoom in on your question.
Sure. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, Jackie, when were you born?
February 12th, 1951.
And do you know your birth time?
Yes, it's 8:34 a.m.
Okay.
Is that a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
A.m., okay.
In St. Louis, Missouri.
Cool.
8:34 p.m.
A.m.
A.m., sorry. A.m. I'm dyslexic today. And that's St. Louis, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and why don't you, while I'm kind of tuning in here and getting this data entered, why don't you come, hit me with your question. Let me take that into my
Yeah, and I'm interested too, Jackie, because I think, you know, this was great that, you know, we were doing the show, and then there you were, so we must be talking about something that really grabbed your interest. Mm.
Very much so. I'm a bit of an astrologer, so I love looking at charts also.
Okay.
And I have, well, everyone has an unusual chart, but my chart starts at 0 degrees Aries as my ascendant. And so my midheaven is at 0 degrees Capricorn. And on my midheaven is Chiron. And Pluto this entire year is going back
mm-hmm.
and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is lots
well,
of transformation.
Well, you know, let's try to keep this in the language so people will understand. Because I know all that stuff. You don't have to tell me that I can look at that and go, boom.
Sure.
So why don't you come up with what you really want me to get to you in terms of information?
Yeah, that's
so that
great.
You can really get people engaged, because otherwise you're saying stuff people are not going to know what you're talking about.
True.
So, and actually I want to ask you a question. What house system are you using? Because your chart's not coming up for me. Let me just clarify the birth date. February 12th, 1951?
Yes.
8:34 a.m.?
Yes.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
And that's Eastern Standard Time.
That's Central.
Okay. East St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, Central Standard.
Yeah, because I got to be honest with you, I'm not getting that. I'm getting as Eastern Standard Time for St. Louis, and I don't know why. But
no.
So moving forward, though, let's just start tapping into some elements here, but why don't you focus it for me with a question that's going to help my intuition engage faster, and because we only have so much time to really get to what you're wanting to know about.
Yes. Well, I'm on a spiritual path, as all of us are. And sometimes I feel a bit of a roadblock when I meet certain people and I want to engage in their lives, but they're not in the same spiritual path I'm at, and I don't know if I'm supposed to, you know, if I'm really attracted or for some synchronistic reason they're very much in my life. And, you know, how much as a person are we responsible for being with that person versus being on our own path? And sometimes it's like, am I being selfish by not being with them, or am I supposed to? But sometimes it takes away, and
sure.
And we're all one being anyway.
I'm going to jump in because you're asking a lot of questions, and actually I'm going to focus because my intuition is that fast. So
yes.
I have to kind of cut you off and start talking.
He's already got the answer.
I've already
for
got
you.
It.
Great.
Let's go.
The answer to my life.
One of the things you really have to focus on as part of your personal development and developing a strong ego, a strong sense of identity for yourself, is actually how to be in relationship with people without losing your identity. Because
mm-hmm.
I actually feel as part of your upbringing,
mm-hmm.
You weren't really allowed as a child to really separate out your own identity
mm-hmm.
so much. And I actually feel like you felt like you were very much on your own anyway. You felt like an orphan, kind of.
Yes.
So the point is, of all of that, these are parts of a contract your soul's made to engage with the creative process in this life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that will help you become more clear on relationship issues is really getting clear on what you value. Because our relationships are often formed out of our value systems. And out of that is also your esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about holding a sense of your own empowerment in perspective and your self-worth in perspective to be the individual you were born to be. And the Aquarian path that you're on, because you're an Aquarius,
mm-hmm.
an astrological piece of this, is that it really does demand that as you create an identity this lifetime, you care less and less about what others are going to think about the person you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard because you have to be willing to actually almost orphan yourself from tribal consciousness to achieve a new measure of creative freedom with your life and pioneer that
mm-hmm.
Aries ascendant. Get out there in the world, you know, really go forward. The thing of it is you have such a sensitive nature to who you are. You're very psychically open to the energy of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're torn. There's a part of you that wants to be engaged in a sense of emotional fusion and connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this Aquarian destiny that says detach and seek freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to realize that emotional connectivity is meant to support freedom, not clash with freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So the task is actually becoming conscious of the ways that you need to use your sensitivity as a way of supporting your freedom. And when you're looking at other people, because here's the thing about the shadow side of the Aquarius path is that it can be quite elitist. It can be the kind of thing where you really look at other people and like, you don't get me. You don't have the consciousness to get me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is I like to think of it this way. We're all going to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us might be higher on the mountain. But mm-hmm. the people that are on the mountain, they're of the same source that we are. And I like to think of it in terms of, well, they're just not where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all part of a continuum, and they'll get there someday, and you'll keep moving on. And the best thing you can do is honor your own vision,
mm-hmm.
honor your own freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the relationships that are necessary out of that naturally will happen. But you have to remember, until you get stronger, you're going to attract to yourself, really, it's part of your contract to bring this in, people that are going to challenge your freedom, challenge your boundaries, challenge that emotional part of you, until you can find a creative way to bring your heart into a free life,
mm-hmm.
a free expressive life. So this, you know, a lot of what you're going through this next year is really about, I see it as a real reconfiguration of your capacity to stand as an individual in culture and in the public. And that's actually, because you know this, that's what that Pluto transit's about. It's
mm-hmm.
it's unearthing the shadow aspects and the ways you're unconsciously in allegiance to culture and others around you that keep you from being an individual in your own right.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that was helpful.
Well, that was certainly a lot of information,
yeah,
Jackie. What do you think of that?
It's great information. It just seems like once every 10 years or so I get someone that comes in and challenges me at this level. And otherwise I'm just doing fine, you know?
Well, they're catalyzers. They're catalyzing your empowerment. And that's the thing. It's always about the next level that we go to,
yeah,
in our creative process. And it's not going to ever stop. I mean, and it's also part of a cycle, right? You're identifying there's a cycle here.
Yes.
So whenever those shifts come, maybe it would be helpful to just say, well, gosh, I guess I'm scheduled now for another level of empowerment and individuation.
Oh, I agree. I so agree.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't wait to see how this unfolds for you. Please make sure you let us know.
I will.
I am very excited about this. I mean, this is you know, this is part of, I think, what we're all creating together. And whether you know it or not, Jackie,
mm-hmm.
that coming on the show and having this conversation with us, I hear this from thousands of listeners. They learn more from you all that come on and ask these questions and join in the conversation than they do pretty much sometimes from me. So, you know, please know that you are probably helping so many people out there have a voice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck. Take,
Thank
take
you
care.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. I mean, I love this. And, you know, and Jackie, as I said before, is one of the fabulous listeners that we've come to know and love and that actually tune in. You know, but, you've written, Robert, you know, you've written the book Transforming Fate to Destiny. I mean, you know, this is a book that has a lot of depth to it. And I wanted to, you know, talk with you while probably the phones are going to continue to
sure.
ring at 877-876-5227. And the reason I wanted to talk with you is because there is such a need right now, in my opinion, there's such a need to have things broken down for people so that it's not just this big organic kind of deal going on and people say, yes, think and you shall receive. But they're saying, okay, I'm thinking, but, you know, if there's an action to take, what should this be? How is your book helping people shift from what you refer to as a victim consciousness to a victory consciousness?
Well, I'll tell you, I love that question because one of the fundamental alchemical pieces, transformative pieces, to really get engaged beyond victim consciousness is understanding what fate is. Fate is something that your soul, the greater consciousness of you, decided to engage with to be here on the planet. Now, let me just say something about that. So we incarnate on a historical timeline into a social power structure, which happens to be patriarchy right now, and also into a culture, and then into a family. Once you get here, you might not, as you mature, be a little bit resentful of where you come from because maybe it wounded you, or it was harsh for you, or it wasn't, quote-unquote, fair for you. That's the victim. But the reality is, it is what it is, and it was set up as the perfect vessel and circumstances for your destiny. So you cannot really get to your fullest expression and potential in your life without accepting the fate that you were given at that fundamental level.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do, that's the first step of transforming it into destiny. So, for example, just, you know, I think in the 70s we became a culture that became very focused on psychotherapy. And part of that focus was to go back into our childhoods, begin to assess the wounds that were given by our bad parenting, and do something with that. And begin to heal the child in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you there are countless people out there that are still blaming their parents for how their lives have turned out.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
is a victim issue. Because,
yeah.
you know.
It's pretty incredible. But, you know, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. Because if it isn't our parents that we're kind of pointing, you know what I'm saying, pointing the finger at, it's probably our boss. It's probably somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's all part of the finger pointing that really doesn't serve us. Is this correct? I mean, I know you
yeah,
say this.
Yeah, because it just transfers
yeah.
to the next projection screen. It
okay.
doesn't ever stop. You know, it will be your boss. It will be the politician you can't stand. It will be the neighbor you can't get along with. It'll be always be something. And that's the point, is looking at yourself and taking responsibility for your own journey is hard going, because you can't be a victim anymore then. I mean, the victim thinks in this polarity, fair and unfair. So it categorizes life through that perceptual filter. This is fair. This is unfair. Well, reality, folks, is that life just is not fair.
Mm.
There are horrific things that happen to children,
mm-hmm.
to people that, you know, seemingly are very good people that just happen. And this, I believe when we think in terms of the soul's logic, if there is even such a thing, it just says, I'm here for creative experience, period. The fair and unfair is your humanistic ego perception of life, but the soul says it's all about creation, and life will never be fair, but it will always, always be creative. It can't but be. It's nothing but creation.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to embrace this idea that's really popular around creating our reality, well, we're going to have to realize that what's really doing the creating, is it the soul or our ego, or is it that we've even been under a spell to create in a certain way what we think we want, when it's really not what we want at all?
Well, you know, and this is what I love about talking with you. I am so thrilled. I've got Robert Ojado joining me here today, Transforming Fate into Destiny. You can find out more about him, and I'm going to give you the website. It's OHOTTO.com, just like you say it, Ojado.com, and check it out. But right now, we have got that little beep, Robert. That
yeah.
is another one of our fabulous listeners joining us
Excellent.
Here today.
Let's bring him in.
Who do we have on the line? Who's joining us right now?
Hi, my name's Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Robert, I hear you talking about parents and your relationship with your parents. And now I'm wondering if I've kind of accepted my relationship with them or what's happened in the past, what if I choose not to have a relationship with them, feeling like it's going to make me a healthier person mentally to not have that relationship? Is that wrong?
You know, thanks for that question. It's a very, very good question.
I love this question.
You know, I have to say I don't think it's wrong, but I think it's always about the inner relationship. Because here's the thing, Lynn, when's your birthday? Just give me your birthday. I don't need your birth time. Just give me your birthday, and I'm going to take a quick hit on you.
March 12th, 1970.
1970?
Yeah.
Okay. So this Piscean journey you're on, you know, because you're a sun in Pisces,
yep.
A lot of what your purpose is about is, and this is kind of what I felt about you right away, first hit I had was, it is about compassion. It is about understanding that the root of the word compassion is to encompass. It means to encompass, and you must encompass yourself first to be compassionate to other people. So if you could think about how many times we draw a circle of compassion in our lives for people, but we're not in that circle, it doesn't mean also that you have to participate in dysfunction. In fact, sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is to separate out from somebody. If you were in a relationship with somebody who was a raging drug addict or alcoholic, the best thing you could probably do is separate from them so that they could face consequences and then heal through their bottom. Similarly with patterns in the family, sometimes you have to really break from that tribal energy and move on to become empowered yourself for a time. And then maybe you can reassess the relationship after you've gotten a different perspective. But for me, my sense around you is that it's probably more useful to just have compassion for your own process and your own needs and realize that you don't have to participate in a dynamic where people really don't want to change and want you to stay the same so that they don't have to reflect on themselves. Because so long as you're there to be healthier, it's going to contrast their unhealthiness. And I think that the modus operandi is to let's disempower her so we don't have to face ourselves. So at this stage, I think where you're at, it's absolutely appropriate to take some time and get away from unhealthy dynamics until you feel empowered to contain and encompass them and not participate with them. And if ever. I mean, sometimes you have to just accept the contract as it stands. So I don't think there's any moral obligation, although our culture, I think, would shame us a little bit for you know, wanting to get away from family dynamics.
Yeah.
To stay in unhealthy ones. In fact, it's the measure of a healthy person sometimes. So be easy.
Was that helpful, Lynn?
Yes, it was. Like to hear somebody else say that because,
yeah.
Like you said, society kind of makes you feel guilty about not wanting that. You've got Mother's Day, you've got Father's Day, and you feel like as a child you should be looking past everything and, you know, continuing to support your parents.
Right.
So,
right. But that's the thing. That's an old model. You know, those are old models that were based on unhealthy dynamics, actually.
Right.
So we have to reconstruct new models, and that's the tough part. It doesn't mean you don't lose compassion for your family or where you come from or extend them a certain type of, let's say, cosmic and detached love, because your soul chose this as a way to catalyze your empowered and creative process of destiny. But it does mean that you do really love yourself. See, we have this idea in our culture that there's something wrong with being in the self, and we call it selfish a lot of times, but there's really a difference between selfish and being self-centered. Self-centered is very positive. That's where you can access your inner divinity and extend and express it out in a very empowered way to all of life. And I think that's what you're really going for here, is a sense of self-centeredness. Not selfishness, self-centeredness.
And it's
okay
to just
really anchor yourself in that.
It's okay to just love them from a distance. And
absolutely. And, okay. And extend to them compassion and say, I have compassion for myself and for you. And out of that compassion, I must detach.
Mm. And I told my mom.
Actually, to think that way, but really embrace that.
And I've told both my parents that, you know, I'm just, or at least my mother, that I'm healthier away from her, and she doesn't like it when I say that. So.
Well, yeah, because
it gets worse.
It triggers probably a lot of issues with her, and her deep. I think your mother feels deeply remorseful of the kind of mother she was, and I think that it sort of assuages and makes her feel better about some of her bad parenting so long as you're around her. It almost makes her feel like she doesn't have to really look at herself as much.
Yeah.
So, and it's okay. You know, we got to love our parents for who they are and the best. We got to assume that they've done the best they can.
Yes, and that's the way I look at it, too.
Great.
That's the way I definitely look at
it. Trust yourself.
Just,
you know already that it's okay for you to break free. Like
okay.
You said, you needed me to just validate that for you. But continue to trust your own intuition, too.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. Take care of yourself.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, and Robert, thank you for joining us tonight and, you know, participating. And you, obviously you can tell that, you know, we have, are talking about a topic that's very, very important to a lot of people. And before the break, I was talking with you, first of all, to let people know about your website, but I was talking about the book. You know, I read a lot of books, Robert, and I love your book. I love it for two reasons. I love because I love some of the language you use in it. And I want to talk about some of those for a minute.
Sure,
for example, let's get to the one that I think I really love most, which is called Soul Esteem. Because we're mentioning the word soul a lot here tonight, right?
Yeah.
And so let's talk about the soul in the way that you talk about it in your book. And you're referring to this thing called soul esteem. And I'm saying, oh, that is like the coolest term I've ever heard.
Yeah. Well, that term... It emerged out of writing it, actually. I'd never thought of it before the book. And it's funny, when you write a book, you almost channel stuff, really, that comes in.
No, I know.
So the soul, what is the soul? I mean, what is this thing we toss around, this term of the soul? The soul for me, and I think everyone knows what the soul is intuitively, but you have to really be still to get it. You have to really be quiet to get it. And for me, it's, if you say soul, I just feel this presence of being in myself. I feel stillness. I feel really a feminine kind of energy, a sense of being that's always been and always will be. So the other thing about that is, how can you even begin to language that and describe it? You can't, and that's what mystics will tell you. If you've stepped into the soul, you shouldn't be able to talk about it. So it is a greater consciousness of our real self, our true identity, our real origins, that is divine in its nature and where it comes from. And I think it is the consciousness that, through intention, through a sense of spirit, decided, I'm going to incarnate into this world of Earth school, and I'm going to create down there in some way and move into that dimension of time and space and participate in life. So the soul knows already that it has worth. It doesn't need culture. It doesn't need a facelift to get worth. It doesn't need to lose 10 pounds to get worth. It doesn't need these things because it knows, hey, we're all from the same place, and we're all going back to that same place someday, and the bottom line is we all have the same amount of worth no matter what, you know? And so self-esteem, which is focused on a lot in psychology, is actually an appropriate place to begin building your power. You've got to start somewhere, because I think it takes a certain kind of mystical discipline and consciousness to start getting into soul esteem. It is a mystical level of self-worth.
Let me ask you about that.
Yeah.
And so what I love about what we're talking about, especially if our listeners are anything like I am, it's like, okay, so what? And the reason I say so what is because, you know, there is a connection between soul esteem and how we actually manifest in our lives. And I would love for you to share your perspective on that. Because the bottom line is, a lot of information, the law of attraction, everybody's seen the movie The Secret, people are saying, okay, did it, not happening.
Right, and there will be more of them saying that, because here's the thing.
Okay.
In my philosophy, in my intuitive understanding of this life that we're in, we have agreed to participate in a certain trajectory of creating a life. And so you can't use the law of attraction from this ego. Let's talk about the ego for just a minute. The ego is a sense of identity that is derived from your environment, and it is something that matures into into a sense of identity as you also mature, just like your physiology. So your ego shapes out of environmental feedback, and part of what shapes that is your self-esteem. Your environment can tell you you're a good or bad person, you're a certain social class, you're this, you're that, and you begin to think that's what you really are. That's the ego. And actually, the ego is not a bad thing. You need an ego, because without it, you don't have a web address on this internet in this matrix of creation. You know, you're going to be just this sort of consciousness wandering around on the internet. You've got to have somewhere where you house your soul. So that needs to be there, but it is not the center of your consciousness. It is not the center, really, of your true identity. And when you start to think it is, then you're in trouble. That's where, so everyone approaching the law of attraction has really come at a ego level of that law. That is a law of the soul. That is not a law of the ego. That is a law that animates positivism and vibration from the soul. So if you do a vision board and it's all based on the things you think you want through your ego, those things aren't going to happen. If you like, and I'm telling you from experience, I mean, I put up a vision board when I was like 19 to win the lottery and did all these special things to try to make that happen. And guess what? I still haven't won the lottery.
Well,
you know, nothing to do with counterintending or not really believing.
Right.
You know, it has everything to do with, there is other laws in the universe like fate, like destiny, like the law of motivation, the law of action. You know, these are also fundamental laws that must also be understood. That, you know, I absolutely believe there is a law of attraction. I'm not negating it as a law. It is absolutely a real magnetic force. But what are its limits? Are there limits? Yes, there are limits. I can't make that law of attraction, you know, shrink me down to 4'9". I'm 6'1". You know, maybe I want to be shorter. I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and I want to comment on it because
sure.
It's all part of what I want folks to know is about the multidimensional aspect of what you can absolutely bring into your life.
Yeah.
And the reason I want to talk about it is because something you said that's so important. And if people walk away from this tonight with the sense that, oh, my gosh, I heard something tonight and I heard it from the perspective of you know, wow, I haven't been doing it and I can do it now. Before I do that, I want to give out that phone number. We're going to be taking your calls. Please feel free to call in. Robert will do a special reading with you. You will need your date of birth, your time of birth, and your place of birth. 877-876-5227 is the number. Now, Robert, here's something you talk about in your book, and I absolutely wanted to give you this example because this is an example of kind of the opposite thing where you do your vision board and things show up, and they show up in a way that you can't even imagine. And so this really talks to some of the things you address in the book in having to make sure that we are on purpose, that we are clear about what you want. Because there's an old saying, you know, you never be careful what you ask for. What I say is be careful in that you need to be clear, not cautious, but be clear. And, you know, two things that I could point to, and I don't want to take up the whole show because I want to hear you, but one of them is on my vision board, I wrote on there, I just finished my dissertation. I thought I did phenomenal research, and I knew that it was going to be important for me to win some awards or get a best paper so that this research would make an impact on organizations and how respect in organizations can be manifested and grown despite all of the junk we have around limitation. And so I put them on my board. And I put that I wanted to win an award at this upcoming so forth and so on. And I was really clear that I wanted to win this award for this paper I wrote. This is the strangest thing that happened. I wanted you to address it. Well, I submit it. I get a letter, and it says, the paper that you submitted won the award.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, this is incredible. Nobody first time out of the gate wins the award. 2 hours later, I get another paper that says, oh, by the way, we made a mistake. And here's the moment of truth, and I wanted to ask you about this, because I had this moment where, what are all the things you talked about? Ego, things showing up, dealt a bad hand, you know, dealt a bad deck of cards, whatever that is.
Uh-huh.
But I had this moment. But I also, at that moment, had a really strong spiritual practice in that moment. And what I said, this or something greater. And I did that, and I have a way of typing it up. 1 hour later, I get another email back from the same individual, and he said, the mistake that we made was that your paper didn't get the award, but we're going to give you a best dissertation award. And so I want you to address this, because this is an example, in my opinion, where the power of a vision board and all of the things you talk about in your book,
right,
if you put the package together, fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah, because once the soul is part of the alchemy of the law of attraction, it's unstoppable. That is when it does move mountains. And that's the thing, as you were talking, I was jotting down intuitive hits and notes because I was like, oh, whoa. So first of all, that's really the key. If it's really an intention that comes from the soul, and how do you know if it's an intention that comes from the soul? Let me give you some keys. It's going to do your intention's going to have a few things attached with it. First of all, it's going to want to help other people.
Good.
And that's something that I think that in the interpretation of this law of attraction, we've really focused on getting stuff. And that's what a lot of the DVDs and books have really been marketed for. Get yours in any way you want. The universe is this giant slot machine or giant manifestation board. Order up what you want. Well, guess what? It doesn't work that way. Especially because I don't in any of that see an invitation to be a kinder person. I don't in any of that see any focus on trying to help other people less fortunate in the world. And any of that, I don't see honoring our interconnectedness. And that is what the soul is about. The soul is about saying, we're all one. And I'm going to try to manifest whatever I can creatively to honor that. And most people, because we live in this Western world where we think it's all about achieve, get, be a consumer, be a capitalist, don't really look at that. And I really feel very strongly, Pat, that what's moving in our culture right now, and we all know it, it's shaking, it's earthquaking right now, is that our capitalist structures, it's dismantling. Because we've, through it, have really violated the environment. We violated our intrinsic equality as human beings. And we have to start looking at things with a different perspective. I think the entrepreneurs and the people that will be the most successful, like you, that are going to get these sorts of awards, are the ones that say, you know what, I want to do something that actually honors life and other people and my connections with them. Let me do something with that. You put that on your vision board and it's unstoppable. But it also has to connect to your unique gifts and your passion and your unique strengths and what you came here to deliver as your treasure to life, right? So I think what happens also on the path, to kind of add another element to this, of those of us who are in service and like you, myself, who are either writing books or radio talk shows where we're doing stuff that's transformative for people's lives, is we get tested a little bit harder, I think. We get tests of humility just to keep us in check with who's really running the show.
Oh, tell me about it.
And that's what I see that as. It was like kind of a test of humility, like you think you're really running the show. Well, think about that for a minute. Are you really running the show? No, you're not really running the show, you know? And it's just a good way to check it for your record, because when you're in a way of being of service that affects people at the soul level, at the deepest part of who they are, the gods are going to really tenderize you. They're going to make sure, life will make sure, that you are in a position of humility, because humility also, might I add, is not about knowing your worth. It's about just knowing that you're not better than anybody, and that you're not in control. And then from that point of view, you can honor people and not move into some sort of celebrity complex or whatever a lot of people tend to fall prey to, you know? So I think it's just a chance for you to kind of reassess for yourself what was your real intention, you know, in putting that on your vision board and kind of reflecting on that and getting deeper into the... Because that's... I think sometimes it's not about attracting stuff to us, but it's rather drawing something through us and extending that out through service.
And I love what you're saying. And, you know, at some point, I think what I'll be able to do is sit down and share that story with our listeners. But you're dead on. You know, for me at that moment, first of all, going back and getting a PhD at my age was a major, you know, was a miracle in itself. and, you know, the second thing was I went back because I was passionate.
Yeah.
I was passionate about what I saw as a senior executive in human resources and what was going on. And so how key is that when I look at what you've written, when I look at the book and listen to the people that are tuning into the show today, you know, how do we get in touch, Robert? How do we get in touch with that passionate, holistic, global aspect of who we are, even if we think we're this little, you know, I mean, I was no Dr. Pat. You know what I'm saying? I was not on the radio.
Yeah.
I had just finished my PhD. I had, you know, huge student loans, blah, 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 blah. And I wanted to really help people. How do we carve out, how do we go from that voice, you know, that fake, that victim voice, to saying, you know, I'm me and I know I can make a difference?
Well, the first thing that, you know, what's really interesting about passion, and it happens with every client without fail that I work with most of the time, that it's so obvious we miss it. I mean, it happened for me that way, too. Like, I have a deep passion for the work I do, but if you would have told me maybe 12 years ago, Robert, this is going to be something, you're going to write a book, you're going to have a career with this, you're going to be well sought after, you're going to be well known for this, and you're going to be damn good at it, I would have laughed at you. I would have said, excuse me, I want to look at my astrological birth chart so I can figure out how to be an actor. You know, I would have laughed you out the door, and I would have said, forget that. That's crazy talk, you know? But and it's funny, when I began to get noticed for this career, which happened on its own, I mean, I had a passion for it and I didn't even know it. And most people, I'll say to them in a reading, hey, what's your passion? And I ask them the question because I can already see what it is. And then they'll kind of go blank and I'll say, what do you like to do? And then they'll say something, but then they'll also disqualify it right away. Well, I like horses, like this woman I had the other day, I like horses. And she had the therapist archetype, said, you are a therapist? I said, but I don't feel you're a counselor and we got to work on this and figure out what this is about. She loved horses, and it hit me. I'm like, you're supposed to be a horse, someone who gives therapy through horses. And I knew it instantly, and I said, well, what's your passion? Well, I train and ride horses. I love horses. I thought about using them, you know, with people, like a horse whisperer kind of would, you know?
Yes.
And I said, duh. There it is. And I said, but immediately she said, but, you know, I don't think I could do that. And what it was is she was afraid to be seen for that skill, and she was afraid of being successful or not. And aren't we all? Aren't we all going to say, well, I don't know if I'm good enough, or I don't know if I can go out there. And I like cooking, but if I can't be Martha Stewart, why bother? You know? Or I like having a talk show, but if I can't be Oprah Winfrey, then why should I bother?
Exactly. And boy, don't you think this goes on in every single one of
it
our
lives? It
goes
lines? On, and you just name every what it
day?
Is for you. Oh, yeah. Name what it is for you, and you'll then stop yourself there and say, okay, I can't be Oprah Winfrey. I can only be me. And therefore, what does that mean? Okay, let's start there. Let's start, how can I be the best unique me within what I'm already drawn toward? And then follow that. That is intuitive guidance. It's your soul's code right there.
I love
it. It's your soul's code saying, this is it. This is where you go. And I'll tell you something. When I engaged with my soul's code with this work, every single door opened on its own. I got recruited by publishers. I didn't even have a book done. And publishers were... Major publishers were contacting me, Random House, Hay House, will you write a book for us? We love your newsletters. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's how it happens. And that's the thing. Doesn't mean I don't have obstacles. Doesn't mean I still don't get my butt kicked. Believe me, I do. But it does mean that certain synchronicities happen that you could have never planned on your best day.
And you know, honestly, this is what we're trying to share with people, that, you know, it is really sort of this combination of things that we have and that we love and that we talk about, which will help us understand and explore beyond our wildest dream what our potential is, what we have the right to absolutely look at and bring forth in our lives. And that kind of leads me to, you know, the sort of more of this progressive conversation that you and I are having about the book. But before we jump there, I would love for you to tell folks about your a website, about some of the things you do. They just kind of see sort of a snippet right here of you in action. But I want to take a minute and talk about Robert Ojato, you know, what you've created, your website, and what people can expect from working with you.
Right. Well, you know, what I'm and this is part of why I wrote a book finally, was I wanted to reach a broader audience with the work I do. A lot of people have a different understanding of astrology, that if you spent an hour with me, I would completely dismantle any understanding of astrology or stereotypes you had of astrology previously. A lot of astrologers, unfortunately, perpetuate those stereotypes, and I work with it in a very different way. What I do is I have two things going on. I'm an intuitive, so I tap into people's psyche. Really, that's my skill, is getting into your psyche, assessing your family history, and then using that as a template to understand your purpose, and then getting, I mean, the hits just come very fast. I mean, you've worked with me on the radio before where I just dip into somebody really fast. And the birth chart for me becomes another tool to kind of coordinate a lot of information, and it is an exquisite map. I mean, astrology is an amazing thing. So if you go to my website, ohotto.com, O-H-O-T-T-O.com, you know, there's a lot of literature about what I do. I talk about what is intuitive astrology. It's sort of this new field I feel I'm pioneering in many regards, because I don't think anyone does this yet the way I do it. And the realization that, to be honest with you, everyone listening is living an astrological life, and they just don't know it. Because you all live by the calendar. We all live by the moon. We all observe certain cycles. And astrology is nothing more, to simplify it, which it is more than this, but I'm going to simplify it for everybody, than an understanding of the energy of cycles and time, and your process of development with that, and your contract and your fated fusion with those elements, and the patterns that we have inside of us and that are also penetrating all of existence in this dimension of time and space. The ancients just mapped that out by projecting into the stars their own inner world. That's all they did. They mapped out those creative forces in the sky and said, that looks like a bull. Now, we look at those stars now, and you're like, that doesn't look like a bull. Come on, you know. But they had this mythic mind, this imagination that allowed them to organically, you know, kind of connect with nature and the natural world in a way that we have really lost touch with. And yet they mapped out this exquisite creative map of how creation works in this time and space. This is my perception, how creation works here in this time and space dimension of cycles and time. And that's astrology. Astrology is a symbolic map of those creative forces. So the creative forces that exist within us and without us, as above, so below. And so when you go to my site, you're going to get a lot of that, a lot of stuff to access and read. I have a fantastic newsletter that I do whenever there's any major astrological cycles that affect everybody. I like to really do a newsletter to talk about trends that everyone should be aware of, about what's informing your own creative individual process from a global, more universal cycle perspective. And I also do private readings still. I'm one of the few intuitives that still does that. And I probably always will, because it informs what I write about and what I think about, and I actually enjoy it.
I wanted folks to hear more about you, and so I'm glad we took that time to do that and you know, to have that conversation. So
thanks for giving me that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I want people to know how you work, because one of the things you said that's very, very important from my perspective, and that is that there are very few people that are kind of at the level that you are right now, where, you know, best-selling author, traveling the world, sought after speaker, that, you know, they get to a point and they say, I'm not going to do readings anymore. So I'm thrilled to hear that you're still doing that, because it is important. I mean, the reason that you actually got the recognition, appeal, you know, and support, is because so many people stepped up and said, you know, he's just totally awesome. So I really appreciate
thanks
and
a lot.
Commend that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have a busy schedule.
What's that?
You have a very busy schedule.
And it is harder, increasingly harder, to still do them actively. And, I mean, there are times when I have to take breaks. But I'll tell you, it's for me, I think it's a crucial component, and may always be, because I'm tapping in, when I do a reading on somebody, to other energies around that person that are also cultural and global, and that also inform and give me insight. I'm always learning. I mean, that's the beauty about the work I do, is I never feel like I really know it all, and that's also what keeps me humble. It's like, well, this is, and that's, you know, with this book, I wanted to say, hey, this is what I've discovered so far. Check this out and see if it resonates with you, and take what from this you can most use, you know, as I think everybody should with any book they read. And that's why, you know, it's funny, people have been begging me to do an astrology book, and this is not an astrology book. This is a book that I wrote based off my experiences as an intuitive astrologer and life experience as a human being. And I said, I want to give people accessibility to things that would hitherto have been esoteric or too complicated or too shrouded in symbolism through, you know, a lot of things that I work with, and make it just something anyone can read, anybody can read, and derive from that. You know, you don't have to know astrology, you don't have to know this stuff to get the meat of what I'm saying out of this book at all. And present a paradigm that I think is really needed when we've got things like this overinflated law of attraction phenomena happening and things like that in the world right now that have, I think, hijacked our soul, you know, because, like I said, if you're going to engage in anything and it doesn't make you a kinder person or a more patient or compassionate person, then what are you doing it for? You know, I think that's really some of the soul seeks those virtues. The soul seeks to bring those things forward in what we're doing on this planet and how we're being with each other. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money and being abundant and achieving a lot of things. I'm all for it, believe me, but if you lose perspective of what really matters, then yeah, might want to rethink about the book you're reading, or might want to rethink about the path you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've really found the universe really supports the path of connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and the other part of this is, you know, it makes us more aware of, you know, how some of us or why some of us truly got in this game to begin with.
Exactly.
You know, and you absolutely. And I have talked about this before.
Yeah.
I didn't say, oh, I want to be this international award-winning radio host. No way. I'm kind of like you.
Yeah.
I mean, I dialed the wrong phone number or a right phone number. But, you know, the point is, once we did that action, like with you, once you had those publishers and those other folks chasing you around, you had a really a critical point. And I want to talk about this as
yeah.
we wind this down. We have things that show up. You know, even my strange story about the award, but there's a point and various points where we have to say yes. We have to get to this place,
yes.
It shows up. Yes,
right.
No, yes, no.
Yes.
How can we help our listeners right now and in closing feel empowered about their choices? Meaning, if it shows up, sometimes we need a B12 shot full of courage to say yes. How can we talk with them about that choice that they will be up for making, especially in the context of, you know, fate and destiny?
Right. Well, here's how I've come to understand choice and those crucial moments of destiny, choices of death. How can we make choices of destiny is what I would say you're asking me. And
yes.
That comes down to understanding that destiny is risk. Destiny does ask for you to explore the unknown of your being, the part of you that you don't know yet, and risk for it and say, you know, I don't know this part of myself yet. And then be willing to make mistakes, be willing to have obstacles as part of that path as you go forward and realize that they're there for a reason. They're there to perhaps build different type of character in who you are. They're there to build you in a way that allows you greater stamina for the role that you're going to be moving into creatively in your life's journey. And when we don't heed or answer the heroic call of destiny, then we do, as we started this whole interview with, this is a beautiful way to kind of wind it down, is we started the interview with the person that doesn't want to get out of bed because fate is so heavy. We fate ourselves. We actually fate ourselves. I call it self-fate, wherein we don't listen to that inner prompting that says, I think I have a calling to work with children in some way. I think I have a calling to, you know, maybe be creatively engaged with sculpture. And not diminish that right out of the gate. So many of us hold ourselves hostage to the fullest expression of our lives because we right away tear ourselves down without even giving ourselves a chance to ventilate our potential, you know? And so you have to realize, I'm sure you would agree with this, Pat, that it's not that you never have fear. You will always have fear as a companion on the path of destiny. It's always going to be there, but you work with it differently. You understand it as a voice, and sometimes fear is helpful, you know. And I think it's just crucial to answer the call and take it a day at a time. Don't
mm-hmm.
go into the what ifs, you know, because then I always say the destiny is, I never thought I would, and then whatever you fill in that space with, that's your destiny.
What a great way to end this show. Let's bring that out one more time and leave our listeners with that question. Go ahead.
I never thought I would. So for me, I never thought I would be an intuitive astrologer and author. That's destiny, because I certainly didn't plan that one with my ego. You know, and whenever you, and so don't hold yourself back. Be open for that I never thought I would and that blank space there, because it's waiting for everybody. It really is.
Well, I love it. I want to thank you so much, Robert, for joining us here today.
Pat, it's my pleasure.
Great
again.
Show. Wow. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And again, if you want to find out more about Robert and all of the things he just shared about the work that he does, it's really easy to do it. I would check out his website anyway, because he's got a fabulous website. You'll get to meet him one-on-one. That is ohotto.com, O-H-O-T-T-O.com. Robert, thank you for joining us here tonight.
My pleasure, Pat. Good to talk to you again.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning us in and turning us on again. We love you, as I've always said. And we wish you the very best. Remember, fill in the blanks and live life full out. We'll see you back here next week on the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by www.thedrpatshow.com for lots more We'll see you next week. Have a great one, everyone.